Summertime means summer books. And if you're looking for suggestions on what to put on this season's reading list, we've got two experts here to help. Petra Mayer is an editor at NPR Books. Hi there, Petra.
Hi.
And R.A. Washington is co-owner of Guide to Culture, a bookstore in Cleveland, Ohio. R.A. Washington, welcome to Here and Now.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's great to have both of you. So Petra, first let me just ask you, are summer books or the books you want to read in the summer any different from those, say, that you might want to read in the fall or winter?
For me, no, but I think that's because the books that I read all year round, other people would class as summer reading. The distinction I would actually draw is that there are books that you want to read on vacation. And that's not necessarily summer, right? But if you're giving your brain a break, you're not possibly not going to break out the Proust, although our listeners are all such elevated folks. I don't know.
I was going to say, some people say that's on the top of their list.
That's true. I would say that on vacation, I certainly want things that are more relaxing that I can dive into without having to do much heavy swimming against the current.
Mm. And R.A., I mean, what typifies a great summer read for you?
I like to read poems in the summer.
Mm.
I just find that, you know, my attention span is not as motivated for a longer piece of literature.
Yeah.
So you can read a couple of poems and feel good about yourself.
That's a good point. Short is key in the summer or on vacation.
Well, I mean, actually, on that note, R.A., what are some of your poetry recommendations for folks?
One of them is called Sand Opera by Philip Metris, who is a professor at John Carroll here in Cleveland. This book is told from the perspective of people who are in prison in Abu Ghraib.
Uh-huh.
It's a look at it from another angle that you probably wouldn't even think about, and let alone think that poems would be written about it. And the Alice James publishers just did a gorgeous job with the layout and design of the book. I mean, it has the CIA blackout pages that are on vellum, and it has all these wonderful cutaways, and it's just a really poignant and complete piece of literature.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about it.
It does sound quite compelling. I mean, especially the notion of poetry from the perspective of an Abu Ghraib prisoner. Petra, I mean, what's on the top of your list for a summer read?
Well, the book that I have been raving about nonstop to everybody ever since I read it a couple months ago is Uprooted by Naomi Novik. It's a kind of reworking of Beauty and the Beast. Naomi Novik has some Polish heritage, and the book is set in a fantasy version of Poland. And, you know, there's a village, there's a sorcerer on the edge of the village, and he takes a girl to his tower every 10 years and teaches her magic, and he wards the villages against the wood that's encroaching on them. And so we pick up with this one girl who has just been selected to go to the tower. I love the way this book plays with all the familiar tropes of the fairy tale and fantasy literature. There's, you know, the quest and the mysterious sorceress and the chosen girl and the evil wood. And then it kind of dodges a different path around all of these things. Mm. And it's just the most colorful, lovely, enveloping world that Novik creates. And one of the strongest things about it, I think, are the two female characters, the main character and her best friend. Because so often when female friendship is depicted in literature, it's sort of frenemies or catty or backstabbing. And the friendship between these two girls is so real and so strong and so flawed. They are strong characters in the best sense of being strongly written. And you want to just follow them through this adventure. It's actually a little bit complicated for me for a vacation read, but you just get drawn along by these two girls and what's happening to them.
R.A., does that sound good to you?
It sounds great to me. I like fantasy books, and I especially like women protagonists.
Well, R.A., I didn't want to leave... I know we're sort of skirting back and forth here, but I did want to talk about another poet that I know is someone that you wanted to call attention to as a great read for the season. Amiri Baraka.
Yeah, I know that sounds strange. Oh, Amiri Baraka, summer reading. But they recently released in February his poems from 1961 to 2013. And it's the book is amazing because it takes you through the four periods of Amiri Baraka. And if people don't know about him, he starts off as Leroy Jones, and he writes this Obie Award-winning play called The Dutchman, and he knows Frank O'Hara, and he knows Allen Ginsberg and all these folks. And then Malcolm X is assassinated,
mm-hmm.
and he leaves that entire life that he's created, where he's this award-winning playwright, and goes to Harlem and opens up a school and, you know, has these concerts where Sun Ra's playing on a platform, and he writes these poems. And in his third period of his life, you know, he moved back to home to Newark and became this sort of political entity in Newark, using poems as protests. And his fourth period, his later years, is reflecting on what he lost by being such a staunch critique of the capitalist system and all these things. So the poems have this sadness toward the back end of the book, where you really get a sense of the man and not just the myth and all the propaganda surrounding him.
So, I mean, the collection is titled SOS, right?
SOS, yeah.
It sounds like a powerful collection. And, you know, Petra, I was thinking of something that R.A. said a little earlier. Like, poems are just a great little package to take along with you, so you can just sort of dip in and out of them. And there's no reason why, you know, in the summertime we can't take stuff that really packs a punch with us, you know, whether we're going to the beach or taking a vacation.
Oh, absolutely. No, that power and that compactness is just wonderful.
Yeah. But on the other hand, Petra, I mean, there's a lot of great nonfiction, too, out there right now. And I know that there's one on your list as a great potential summer read.
Yeah. And it's actually a book that sort of the tagline is that it's specifically about summer. It is The Fly Trap. And I'm going to mess up this name, I'm absolutely sure, because I'm not Swedish. So if any Swedes out there would like to correct me, it's Fredrik Sjöberg or Sjöberg. I'm not quite sure. But he's an entomologist, and he lives on a tiny island in Sweden. He studies hoverflies, just this one particular kind of fly, of which maybe a couple hundred species live on this island in Sweden. And within this stricture, he finds so much freedom and so much joy and so much interest. And the book, you know, it's a memoir by a Swedish entomologist who lives on a tiny island. And it's just, it sort of defies summary, because you read it and he's so funny and he's so observant and he's so, you know, his wit is so dry. You want to go hunting flies with him.
It sounds terrific. Before we run out of time, R.A., there's a... You know, we're genre hopping here, so I want to hit one more before we have to wrap up, and that's the genre of memoirs, because you've got a really interesting one on your list. Black Flags and Windmills, Hope, Anarchy, and the Common Ground Collective by Scott Crow. Tell us about that.
Scott Crow was involved in this collective that helped during Hurricane Katrina and, you know, essentially helped the community keep their housing, because people were looting each other, and so they were like armed guards and food programs. And he talks about it from the breakdown of FEMA, from the breakdown of the local structure, but really highlights how the people kind of rose together and took care of each other. And then he talks about it at the same time how he kind of evolved in his thinking, you know, his journey as a white man who's supposed to, you know, go this one path and choose this other path, and how it alienates him from his family and friends and ultimately creates this whole new life he never would imagine for himself. It's a really great read.
And Petra, before we wrap up here, I do need to ask you that this is NPR Books' Summer of Love, and you're focusing on romance novels?
Yeah, speaking of things that are really perfect reads anytime, but particularly in the summer, we are focusing on romance novels. Our big reader poll this year is about people's favorite romance novels. And we're just celebrating a wonderful genre that's often overlooked and doesn't get a lot of mainstream critical attention. And if I had to recommend one book, it would be The Lion's Daughter by Loretta Chase, which is a wonderful swashbuckling romp set partly in Albania and partly in Regency England.
Petra Mayer is an editor at NPR Books. Petra, it was great to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And R.A. Washington, co-owner of Guide to Culture, a bookstore in Cleveland, Ohio. R.A., it was a real pleasure to speak with you, and thank you so much.
Thank you so much.